Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou, let me paraphrase, and how you cannot stand them which are evil. I've looked it up in the Greek, and that's exactly what it says. Okay? I've looked it up in the Greek. I've looked it up in the English. I've looked it up every way I could. And it is tough talk. It's hard words. And it's not a condemnation here. It is a compliment. Okay? It's a compliment. Now, we'll get to the condemnation, because you can have that and still love. Okay? And that's where we can get off track if we're not careful. If we have that without the love of Christ. All right? So, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Repent and reform. Do the first works. And then there's the condemnation if this is not carried out. And God doesn't say, I'm going to give you 6 months to do it. Does he? I'll give you until the revival, and then we'll all get right. He says, or else I will come to you quickly. In other words, look, there is no time, you have no time. There is no time, you have no time. You must repent and do the first works now, right now. I remember there were many times that my mother or father, not so much my father, but my mother, would ask me to do something, and I knew with mom, I could get away with it. But not with my dad. Dad only asked one time. Mom could ask three, and then the wiffle ball bat came out. But I knew I could get away with three, at least three, maybe, well, two, if I really pushed it, three. But not my dad. And here, this is the Almighty Father, the Almighty Son. And he says, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You see, repentance isn't just changing your mind, folks. It is what's being taught in a scary amount of Baptist churches today. Baptist churches today is a actionless repentance. It is simply a change of mind. It started years back, but now what I'm actually finding is I'm finding guys who once stood on repentance. Actually, I have a friend who's not too far from here who has gone back on repentance. Gone back on it. In that it now is just a change of mind. Okay? It's just a change of mind. When the Bible says that repentance requires not only a change of mind and heart, but that change of mind and heart resulting in what? Action. Action. A movement. And we are rapidly getting away from that. And by rapidly getting away from that, we are rapidly getting away from biblical salvation.
Yes.
And we're also rapidly getting away from it in a holy and pure assembly. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to say, God, I'm sorry. It's another thing to do something about it. I've told God I'm sorry. I've lost count of the times. But how many fingers and toes can I count on where I said, God, I'm sorry, and I did something about it? And I only got 10 fingers and 10 toes. So it's one thing to say, God, I'm sorry. It's another thing to say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not only going to confess it, I'm going to take action on it. No matter what it takes, I'm going to make it happen. There are many places in the Bible where it says put on and put off. And God's not going to do it for you. And he's not going to do it for me. I have to put it on and I have to put it off. And God requires me to do that.
Yes.
And here this church is told to remember and put that first love back on. And that first love will temper and work even in a situation where you can't bear them which are evil. You know, in the next couple verses, you're going to see that God says that he what? Hates something. God says that he hates something. Boy, I was tore apart in a Bible study one time by a woman who said, hate is a strong word. And I said, you're right, it is. It is. She said, I don't believe a minister should ever say it. And my response was, God said it. God said it. So it says here that if they don't remember, repent, and reform, that he's going to come. He's going to come quickly. And what's he going to do? He's going to remove the candlestick. He's going to remove the light that shines in a dark place. Do you remember the day you saw that light? What if you didn't see it that day? What if it wasn't there? What if you weren't in that church? Think about that. I think about the day I saw the light. I think about, what if I hadn't gone to church that night? What if I'd have worked? What if I'd have signed up for an overtime assignment in my bid to get out of church as much as I possibly could? What if I hadn't have been there that night? What if there'd have been no light? What if the church would have had a monster split the year before? So much so that it just disintegrated and was gone. That happens. And the light's gone. Don't put me on a pole, douse me with gas, and light me after I say this. All right? What happened to the public school system in light of what I just said? The light is gone. The light is gone. Who took it out? It's a hard question, ain't it? Who took it out? No, we took it out. Now, moms and dads, I am not telling you to put your kids in the public school system, okay? I'm not. Because the light's been gone too long. And it's dark. It's dark. It's a dark, dark place. I've been in some dark places before. And I'm not talking about darkness like is the sun has set. I'm talking about I have rolled onto a reserve before, a native reserve in Canada, where the sun was shining. But I was literally sick to my stomach of the darkness that I felt there and the evil that was there. So, some things, once the candle is removed, what happens? The candle never goes back. The candle will never again be in our public schools in America. But you know what? There are countries, and I'll tell you one missionary that's been in the public schools now for months, Brother Kuzel, is allowed to go into the public schools and teach Bible to hundreds and hundreds of little kids and young people. And you should see the pictures. You should see the pictures, sitting there in their uniforms, not moving, listening to him. It's amazing. So even though the candle's been taken here, the candle's lit. Because notice here, he doesn't say, I will extinguish the candlestick. What does it say? But it doesn't stop with just remove it. What does it say? Out of its... God's not going to remove the light from this world. It just may have to move it somewhere else. Isn't that what it's saying? Am I reading it wrong? He said, I'll remove it out of its place. If you're not going to preach truth, if the light's not going to be here, I'll put the light somewhere else. And he does that time and time and time again. He does that. He removes it and he puts it somewhere else. A church compromises, goes down the contemporary road, puts a rock band on its platform, paints the walls black, puts in the laser lights. The candlestick is gone. But 5 miles down the road, a young guy comes out of Bible college and starts a church in a storefront. Timonium is a perfect example of it. Hunt Valley Baptist Church. I went to that storefront and presented my ministry as a missionary. When they first started, in a strip mall, the light sprang up in Hunt Valley in Timonium. Now there's a church there. How many go there, Shauna? How many's in that church? 2250. That ain't small. That ain't small. You think I got gray hair now? 2250? But the candlestick was lit there. And that's what he says here. He says, if you don't do these things, I'm going to come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. And that light moves to somewhere else, to someone else. You know what? We're lit. And I want to stay that way. Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you? I mean, we've had people saved the right way. The right way. And the candle is there and it's lit. And what that dear woman told me this morning is, do you know what she experienced? Do you know what Todd's mom experienced? She experienced light. Light. You go into some of these other churches and it's just as dark as a nightclub. There's no light there. This is where the light is. It's found in the Word of God and no place else. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove my candlestick out of his place. And then he repeats it again, except thou repent. Two times in that verse. It's like a verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Two times in this verse, he says, repent, repent. And that repentance requires a change of action. Verse 6. I hate to say this, but I actually polluted my mind a little bit today digging into this verse. And I'll be honest with you, I don't encourage you to go where I went today. Because I delved into the world of the Nicolaitans as much as I possibly could, and have done it for several weeks trying to figure out who they were and what they did. I believe the Bible answers the question, but history's account, the secular account, not so much the secular account, but the early church fathers, Tertullian, Clement of Alexander, and some of the others, their accounts of the Nicolaitans are such where in a mixed crowd, particularly with young children, I can't tell you about them. Does that tell you about them? Okay? I can't actually go there in depth or in detail, even though I went there and it was like, Lord, do me a favor, flush my head. If you study Roman history and culture, you'll need your head, and your heart flushed too. We think we live in the most evil time in the world. The world's always been evil. Newsflash. It's always been evil. I can tell you some things about some of the Roman emperors that are beyond debauched. We don't have the monopoly on evil today, even though it's evil. Okay? Man has been evil since Eve. And Adam bit those apples, or whatever that fruit was. The apple gets the raw end of the deal, don't it? We don't know what that fruit was. Poor apple. Let me ask you something. What's on the back of your iPhone? a bite out of an apple. Wonder what that means. Wonder who put that logo on there. And it wasn't Steve. It was Steve's boss. The prince and power of the air. Because everything that goes through that thing comes through the air. Verse 6 starts with my favorite word. What is it? A conjunction, but. Verse 5 was a tough verse to take, wasn't it? I mean, we took it as a church. We all got on our knees that night, didn't we? And you know what? Don't forget that night, y'all. Because you can lose it as quick as you get it. You can lose it as quick as you get it. You can lose that first love as quick as you get it back. I have no doubt that this church possibly got it back after this letter for a short time. But I know they didn't get it back for very long because that candlestick's gone. It was moved to another place. There is no church at Ephesus today. And he says in verse 6, but. Remember now, changing from fifth to reverse. You're not going up through the gears. You're going from one extreme to the other. You're going from positive to negative almost every time you see this conjunction. Verse 5 was a tough verse. But you know what? The Lord thought so much of this church, the first church he mentions, that he encourages them at the end after telling them, you're going to lose your candlestick. He encourages them. And here's what he said. But this thou hast. I'm going to throw you a bone, so to speak. I'm going to throw out a bite of encouragement. You have this. You have this. But this thou hast. That thou what?
Hey.
What do they do? Don't worry about him. He'll be all right. It's hot in here. Mason, you're hot. I'm hot. But this thou hast, that thou what? Hate something. This is another what? Compliment. Another compliment. He said, you hate something, and I'm commending you for it. Woo. That wouldn't go over very well today down in Houston, would it? With my buddy Joel. I wouldn't go over too well. He says, this thou hate, this thou hast, that thou hatest what? Deeds. Deeds. You know what I did when I saw that word. I went to Noah. Not the old Noah. The 1828 Noah. Okay? Deeds. That which is done, acted, or affected. A word of extensive application, including whatever is done, good or bad, great or small. Exploit. Achievement. Illustrious act. Power of action. Or agency, a deed, that which is done, something that you do. And he said that there is a group of people. Now, as far as these people are concerned, like I said, do me a favor, don't go there. Don't Google the Nicolaitans, okay? Just take my word on it. I'm sorry, but it's 200 degrees up here. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which God says, God. No, this isn't God speaking. Who's speaking here? This is Christ. This is the same one who was speaking this morning before he was led to a brow of a hill and gave them the gracious words and the hard words. And he says here, which I also hate. Now, I cannot do that without showing you something right across the page. If you've got a Scofield, it's almost directly across. If you don't, you got to turn the page. Right across the page, in verse 15, it says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What's it say there? Which thing I hate. Now, we're going to get to this church at Pergamos. All right? So, right now, we know that in Ephesus and in Pergamos, both locations, there is a group of people called the Nicolaitans. Okay? There's a group of people who are called the Nicolaitans. And that word means to conquer the people. Okay? To conquer the people. Nicholas. To conquer the people. And I've heard some of my dear Baptist friends say that this is nothing more than the Catholic Church. Hogwash, it's not the Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church was not there at this time. It's not the Catholic Church. It's something worse. Worse. So, that's not it. And as I studied it out, I found that it is more toward the side of antinomianism, which I have even a hard time pronouncing. Don't dare ask me to spell it. And when you boil the onion skin off of the Nicolaitans and antinomianism, you know what it boils down to today? You ready? What am I going to say? What do I always say? It boils down to God's love is. Yeah. Yeah. If there's, what did Solomon say? There is nothing new under the sun, and that includes religion. There's nothing new under the sun. Life history is cyclical. And so is religious history. It's cyclical. What goes around comes around, and it comes back around again. Particularly false religion, false teaching, and apostasy. The things we're experiencing today with false religion and false teachers is exactly what in AD 96, the last of the apostles, John, is up against. A falling away. And it's no different. Just because we got these apples in our pockets, we're no different than those people back then. But notice in 15, there's two D's, one in verse 6 and one in verse 15. Deeds and doctrine. You see, deeds are what you do. Doctrine is what you believe, and what you believe will affect what you do, okay? And God hits both of those things in this chapter in two separate churches without hitting it in each one. He combines it into one ball of wax, because here he's talking to us, even though I personally believe these are very prophetic, And I do subscribe to the fact that they were written to churches then, they're written to churches now, and they're written in a prophetic matter that does correspond with the age. And you got to look at it in all three ways. In all three ways. But he says here, but this thou hast, verse 6, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the last thing that he tells them is that they hate this thing. And what is this thing? Without me going into the gory details, and we're out of time, and I wasn't about to do that anyway, because I want you to go home tonight with a nice, clear mind and be able to lay down and sleep. Don't pollute your mind like I did and look into the Nicolaitans when you get home. Okay? Clement of Alexandria. You know what my middle name is? Clement. Did you all know that? Yeah. Stanley Clement Wilson III. And as a kid, I hated that middle name. Emma's laughing. You're laughing at my name, Emma. So do all the other kids in elementary school. They're like, Clement, what is that? And at the time, I didn't know. My parents weren't in the Bible. Man, I wished I'd have known I was in the Bible, because I would have went, I'll tell you where my name came from. It came from one of the early church fathers, right out of Scripture. That would have been cool. I didn't know that then. Clement of Alexandria says of the Nicolaitans. Now, these are a group of... Now, let's take it a little further. Let's not just give them a religious tag. Let's call them what they called themselves. Christians. Just like a lot of them do today. They use the C word. For false teaching. False doctrine. Lies. Deceit. But hey, they got congregations full of people, Isaiah chapter 30, they're saying, tell us lies, man. Whatever you do, don't tell us the truth. Prophesy smooth things. Here's what they said. They abandoned themselves. Now, look, I got to take what he says, because he's living way back there, close to that time. All right? These early church fathers, what they say about the Nicolaitans, even though it's not written in the Bible, I'm taking it. It's history. It's written history. Okay? So I'm taking it. If he's going to characterize them, I'm going to take his characterization. And look at the similarities with the mega churches today. They abandon themselves to pleasure like goats, leading a life of self-indulgence. Their teaching perverted grace and replaced liberty with license. In other words, God loves you unconditionally. Jesus loves you. He died for you. And you can do whatever you want, and it won't matter. Young people, that's garbage. It's not true. It's a lie. It's false. We can't do that. We can't do that. And we can't preach that. And we can't teach that. And we can't win people with it. They allowed the practice of the most abominable lewdness and adulteries. Morals. As well as sacrificing to idols, all which they placed among things indifferent and pleaded for as branches of Christian liberty. And we hear that same thing today. It's my liberty as a Christian to go to the vineyards and drink with the drunks. Garbage. It's not my liberty. It's not. And that's the light stuff.
I'm giving you the light stuff. I'm not about to give you the heavy-duty stuff that several of the other church fathers described of the Nicolaitans. They were a church of anything goes, because after all, we're saved. Another commentator said he supposes that the passage relates simply to a class of persons who were in the practice of seducing Christians to participate in the sacrificial feasts of pagans and in the excesses which attended them. Remember Corinth? What went on in that temple at the end of the feasts? And the Nicolaitans said, we're good. You can go there. You can go party with them. Go drink a beer with them. You might win them to Christ. That's the Nicolaitans. That's what they believed. It is generally agreed among the writers of antiquity, and I'm talking about the guys that lived back then, between 100 and 200 AD. Among the writers of antiquity who have mentioned them, that they were distinguished for holding opinions which countenanced gross social indulgence. Okay? This is all that is really necessary to be known in regard to the passage before us, for this will explain the strong language of aversion and condemnation used by the Savior respecting the sect in the epistles to the churches of Ephesus and Pergamos. And I'm going to tell you right now, as long as I'm alive, first, I'm going to fight it in my own life. Let's just bring it right down to home, okay? First, we got to fight it in our own lives, first and foremost. We have to keep ourselves pure. If anybody knows of a good ad blocker, I don't care how much it costs, tell me, please, so that I can put it on my stuff. Do me a favor. Tell me, please. All I want's a good ad blocker. That's all I want. I'll pay $100 a month for it. I don't care. Because that's how I can fight it in my own life first. Then, parents, you got to fight it in your families.
Yes, sir.
Okay? You got to fight it in your families. You're the warriors in your families. Those kids are your responsibility before God. And you got to fight it in your families. And I'm going to tell you something. You fight. I watched a 13-year-old girl last night slap her father and say, "Get away from me!" How did it get to that? How did it get to that? Because see, by the time she's 13, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. There's no coming back from that. We got to fight it in our own lives. And then we have to fight it in our families. And then you know what we have to do? We have to fight it as an assembly.
Amen.
Together. Because there's strength in numbers. And we have to determine and purpose in our hearts that we are not going to let the deeds or the doctrine of the Nicolaitans into this church.
Amen.
That doctrine of anything goes. You can do whatever you want. Nothing matters. And you want to know how it's creeping into Baptist churches? Nobody does church discipline anymore. Nobody. So what are you becoming? You're becoming a Nicolaitan. You're becoming a Nicolaitan. because you're not fighting it in the assembly anymore. Now, here's the caution. Here's the caution. And this is what spoke to me today and convicted me in this study. You can hate what Jesus hates and be fine, but you cannot love what he loves and you're messed up. Does that make sense? They hated what he hated, but they had lost what? They had lost their first love. How do you fight with love? Only by the wisdom of God. How do you hate what he hates and love what he loves? I'll tell you how. You snuggle up as close to him as you can possibly get. Yes. And you pull your family in as close as you can possibly get. And we pull together as a church as close as we can possibly get. And I already think that's here because of what his dear mother said this morning. They said, and what she said. It's here. But let's not lose it.